Welcome to the Dirtbag State of Mind podcast from the Climbing Zine. I am Luke Mihal, and this is a little preseason episode, a conversation with Chad Rich. We're about to start season six of the podcast, and we've been on a little break, and just want to do this convo with Chad. Chad's our digital editor and producer. He's literally behind every single episode of the podcast, as we talk about in the interview. And it was really fun to reminisce with Chad of where we started. Hopefully there's some nuggets for people that are kind of starting their own thing. But it was really fun just to talk with Chad. And I will always be grateful for Chad for his effort in me coming to him with an idea. And then him really putting in the work to make this thing happen. And really in the beginning, it was really a labor of just him helping me, a labor of love, that he didn't really ask for much. You know, we do have sponsors now. We do have our Patreon support, so I'm able to pay Chad. But he just really did this as a friend wanting to help out another friend. And he was in grad school at the time. And yeah, I'm always going to be grateful for Chad. And he's really kind of a unsung hero behind the podcast. So thanks, Chad. During our break, we've been working on, of course, the Climbing Zine. We got a new volume out, volume 24. You can order that at shop.climbingzine.com, where you can subscribe and support our Keep the Zine Alive campaign. I think we're closing in at about 550, and our goal is 2,000 to complete the Keep the Zine Alive campaign to have a sustainable number of subscribers. And we've also been working on the Microdose Mixtape. This is an effort I did with Devin Dabney, and we're finally about to release that. We just released a video you can watch on YouTube. It's called License to Micro, and that was by Gene Kang. We are super psyched about this. So yeah, support the Climbing Zine, support our Patreon to specifically keep the podcast going, and hope you all enjoy this conversation with my friend, Chad Rich. I am here with Chad Rich. You're in Crested Butte, Colorado. I'm here in El Potrero Chico, Mexico. We're having a chat. You've been a part of every single Dirtbag State of Mind podcast episode that we've done. And I was just looking on iTunes to figure out how many we've done. I think we're closing in on 100. But interesting thing is that we started almost exactly 4 years ago to the date. Super interesting to link up and reflect on what we've done so far.
Time flies, huh?
It really does, but it's also like I feel like some of like that time period in the pandemic is like one of those things I want to like put away and not think about, you know? And so it 4 years, it's like, yeah, that does feel like 4 years of life that just happened, you know? So the idea to do this conversation was born out of the love letter to the Firebrand. And that was the last episode that we released, and you just included a nugget for me. If you're listening to this and you haven't listened to that podcast, give it a listen. It was a tribute that I wrote for the Firebrand, this delicatessen in Gunnison, Colorado, that was really, for me, a home away from home. And it meant so much to so many people in Gunnison, and it recently closed down. And it was actually where the Climbing Zine was first sold. It was where the zine was really born, because I used to go there and like write poetry on napkins, and the owner, Heidi, used to give me tea and really make me feel welcome and stuff there. But you included this really awesome surprise that was Heidi within the episode. So I recorded the episode as one of our storytelling episodes, and you included Heidi in that. And Heidi is the owner of the Firebrand, was the owner, I guess, now. Could you just tell me a little bit about that as a place to start? You could have easily produced that episode and handed it off to me, and we could have put it out there. But you went out of your way to interview someone, and then you also went out of your way to keep it a surprise to me. And it's one of those things that I'm just always going to cherish. I think I'll probably listen to that once a year for the rest of my life.
Right on. And like, even if you haven't listened to it, I'm going to kind of spill the beans a little bit, but that still makes it worth listening to. So what happened was Luke sent me this Ode to the Firebrand episode talking about how much the Firebrand had meant to him throughout the years as a place, like he said, where this climbing zine started. Maybe they were some of the first to sell it or carry it. And I could just tell by the way Luke had read it. And when I was listening to it and editing, like, this one really meant a lot. It was a shocker for him And I could really relate because there was a restaurant here in Crested Butte called The Last Steep that was like my firebrand for Luke. And I happen to know the owner of the firebrand, Heidi, along with her sister, Kate. And I listened to Luke's Ode to the Firebrand, and I think to myself, like, man, this really means a lot to him, and I can absolutely relate. Let's go ahead and throw Luke a little surprise. So I asked Heidi to say a couple things about Luke's history at the Firebrand, and I think I just asked her to record those into her phone and send them to me because I needed them in a really timely manner. So, Luke, I didn't even interview her. I just said, hey, Heidi, can you just say some things to Luke? I kind of told her what I was going to do with it. She thought it was a great idea. And, you know, a day later, here came the audio, and I dropped it into the episode, and I sent it to Luke without saying anything. In my mind, I could just imagine sitting there watching Luke listen to this and some kind of emotional response being born. That was my little surprise to you, Luke.
And I'm super grateful. And now that I'm thinking about it too, it's like I was in Mexico, and you know, maybe when you write about places that are special to you and you're away from home, you know, I've been away from home longer than I've ever been away from home. It's like that probably elicited my response of being more sentimental about the Firebrand closing. And it also made my response more visceral when you send it in the recording. And so I think that that could be a kind of an interesting aspect of it. It's like the fact that I am so far away from home that almost this like surprise, you know, I think we're old enough yet young enough to realize we grew up without a lot of this technology. You know, it's like 20 years ago, that sort of interaction wouldn't have been possible, you know? And so
yeah,
it's like
it would have been really tough at bare minimum, like really, really, really tough.
Yeah, I know. And I hope we never take some of this stuff too for granted that it is really cool when you can weave something together and then release it out into the world through a podcast. It's like, it's really magic. And to me, it sounded really good too. I thought you guys were like in a studio or something, but I think that's the other magic you work. And I know that's something you don't really like to talk about because it's a hard thing to describe of why things sound good or why it's so important to you that it sounded good. But like, to me, I was like, oh, this is like someone on Fresh Air or something, you know, like that kind of quality. And maybe Heidi just has an amazing voice, and it was just really good to hear Heidi's voice. But the way you put that together just sounded really good, too.
Awesome. Thanks, Luke. One reason I wanted to include that is because when I was hearing you and listening to you talk about the Firebrand, your history and the emotions with it, you know, I could only think about, you know, my Firebrand, which was The Last Steep. And I got to thinking, like, I'm not going to say everyone, but a lot of people probably have their own version of the Firebrand, you know, a place that meant something to them, a place where their community was either born or met. It's more than a restaurant. It was more than a deli. It was more than a place to gather. You know, it was the center of something. I just felt it when you said that. And I have a feeling that other folks who are listening can relate and have that place. Whether or not that place has closed or is still open, you have it. And even when it's closed, you still have not just the memories, but the connections and the community that were formed in those places. And places really important when it comes to community and storytelling and, you know, just meeting people and having conversations and learning how to be in a new place. You know, Luke, you're not from Gunnison. I'm not from Crested Butte. At the Last Steep, I would go there, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights a week for a while. And as a fun little side note, I used to write checks all the time. I hated the idea of a debit card because I knew I was going to lose track of how much I was spending. So I would always go to the Last Steep and sit at the bar. And at the end, when I got my ticket, I would write a check. One day, Sean, one of the owners, says to me, and we don't really know each other at that point. Now Sean and I are well acquainted. He says to me, Chad, I cash maybe 15 of these a month and 14 of them are yours. And just those little stories that'll stick with me forever. That's one reason I dropped that in there for you, Luke. It was a little gift for you.
It was awesome. And I feel like, you know, our podcast, I think somewhat similar to a physical place. I get the feedback on the podcast. You know, I really look at us as co-creators of this thing because we created it together. Like, I went to you with this idea, and you really led me through the audio ringer of how to do it. And we started it right before COVID happened, but we actually, I just looked, and we didn't start releasing until exactly 4 years ago, which is when it was kind of going down. But I get these young climbers, they come up to me and they're like, I love your podcast. Like, I love especially the audiobook journey in the first couple series. So I just have this mental picture that now something we created together with, you know, this, you know, everything that the Gunnison Valley has kind of instilled in us is now something that people get in their cars and they go on road trips and they binge an entire two seasons of, you know, the first season was me reading American Climber and the second season was me reading The Desert. And I just love the fact that now something we created together means something to other people. And they run into me in the crag and they're so excited to talk about it. I've had a few people do that this season here in Mexico, in El Potrero Chico. And it's just, it really makes me feel happy of what we created. So I kind of want to just go really back to the beginning to highlight some of the things, especially for the listener. If, you know, if you're listening and you really want to start something in life and you really want to get something going and you have an idea, but you don't really know how to make it happen, because that's kind of how I felt I was with the podcast idea. I was like, I want to do a book on tape podcast. People said they thought it was a good idea. And obviously we've evolved quite far away from the original idea, but you were the person I landed with. You know, we had worked together in other radio endeavors for 10 to 15 years. And I went to you and you really like coalesced it and we made it happen. But what are your memories from the early days of when we started this podcast, and what do you think some of our early challenges and successes were?
Well, when you're making something like this, like, let's just call it digital art, you know, don't call it content. That word pisses me off. You know, content is content is like what's in one of those black tubs with a yellow lid in my attic. You know, that's filled with like contents. This is art. You know, it's storytelling, and digital art consists of two components. It consists of the aesthetic, which is what Luke is doing. It's his story. It's the meaning behind it. It is the emotion you're trying to convey. It's the message. It's the communication goal. And along with the aesthetic comes the technical. And the technical is, does the recording sound good? How's the pacing? Is Luke reading in a monotone? Are there a lot of ums, like a lot of ums? Is there some background noise? Do people even want to listen to this? Cause the quality is, you know, maybe not up to par. And so Luke asked me, you know, like, hey, you want to, you know, should we make this thing? And I'm like, hell yeah. Partly because I know Luke's got the aesthetic of this. I mean, I've been working with digital audio now for, at the time I was working with it for, I don't know, 17, 18 years. And it takes a long time to get really good and basically to build your chops. Yeah, sure, Luke could have gone at it by himself, but I have a feeling it wouldn't have turned out the same. So he brought me on for the technical. And Luke already had the aesthetic down. So I was like stoked to sign up for this thing.
If I can interject in there is, and you noted this, that it took me a while to find my voice. Because I don't like the sound of my own voice. You know, it's painful for me to listen to the episodes when we're editing them, when I have to re-listen. I don't like the sound of my own voice, and I don't think most people do. But now I do. I feel like I have a command, and I feel like I've settled within my voice. But man, that stuff takes so long, and I think you were just patient with me as I develop my voice.
You know, it's so funny because when people hear themselves after recording, they say, "I don't sound like that," and all I can do is look at them and say, then what do you sound like? If that's not you, who is it? So I remember it was before the pandemic. We were talking about releasing like one a month. You know, I was in grad school. I was living in Athens, Ohio. I've got a thesis that I'm working on. I'm teaching. I got classes, all this stuff. I'm like, man, I want to do this, but holy shit, do I have a lot going on? So we talked about one a month. And then the pandemic hits. And you know, suddenly the realization that people are going to start consuming more art, not content, in the form of podcasts or, you know, YouTube or everything, you know, like people are going to start chewing through this stuff because they're home. You know, no longer are they at work for 8 hours a day. And even if you were working from home, you were still watching TV or listening to podcasts. It was a special point in history. So we started turning out one a week pretty quickly, if I could remember. And yeah, you know, like the growing pains on your end were finding your voice. You know, we had to find a way to get good quality recordings. It's very difficult to coach this stuff when you're, I don't know how far away we were from each other. If you were in Durango, it was at least 24 hours. If you were in El Potrero, I don't even know. But it takes time. You know, it took us a while, Luke. And I think if you went back and listened to like the very first thing we recorded and then listened to like maybe the 15th or 20th, you just hear a difference in both the audio quality as well as how you were reading and how you were presenting the information that you'd already written. And it takes time, you know, finding your voice takes time. So that's kind of my early memories of it, as we started kicking out one a week shortly after the pandemic started. We wrapped up season one. I don't remember how quickly we went into season two, but now we're on season, this is like the precursor to season six. So
yeah, this is the preseason, our first preseason, which I want to make this a tradition to do a short episode before every season now. And we're going to play a little bit of the new Microdose mixtape at the end too. But yeah, we're about to start season six. You know, we all organize things in our head, and I think the pandemic is just it was a terrible time, but it was terrible for so many people for so many different reasons. So I think we like compartmentalized, but I remember that we started recording because you sent me to a radio studio. We had a connection with KDUR right there in Durango, and they were kind enough to say, yeah, you know, this is a friend of a friend. He's a member of the Durango community. I know people up there at Fort Lewis College, and they just started letting us use their equipment. And we're like, all right, if we can roll with this for a while, like you said, we're going to do one a month. You know, you put me in a radio studio, and I'd been in a radio studio before. I felt comfortable. I wasn't sitting in my voice yet. I wasn't comfortable in my voice yet, but everything else is like, yeah, this is great. And then, you know, that stuff started to happen. They're like, all right, in a couple weeks or a week or 2 days, no one except the two Fort Lewis full-time KDUR employees are going to be in here. And we're like, oh, okay. And so we also had to switch the entire format. So we had to figure out how to get good, clean audio out of our houses. And so I think that's the main thing for me, is I remember it so much because you were probably doing your job. You were already probably doing it at your house, but I had to switch from recording at a studio where everything was set up to recording in my house without prior experience of using some of this equipment.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about the specifics of that because I do this professionally, and I don't want to give away my secrets. Yeah, you know, trying to replicate a studio recording in a house can be difficult. From my end, I know what it needs to look like in terms of where your microphone is, what the room is like, and getting someone on the other end to believe me is kind of difficult because I'm telling you to do all sorts of crazy stuff to your space. And you're like, really? Come on, seriously? And the answer is yes, but it's worth it. So we adapted and we made it work. I'm not dissing other podcasts, so to say, but when I hear something that was obviously recorded just straight into Zoom or straight into a phone in a very echoey room with the neighbor's dog barking and the airplane flying overhead, I personally can't stand it. Maybe it's because I'm an audiophile, but I wanted the quality of this to be really top notch because the stories are really good and they deserve to be told through a technical way that keeps people wanting to listen and doesn't distract. So that's why we did all that work.
I think it was worth it. And I think that, like you said, you can tell as we evolved, it got better. And then we evolved to beyond, you know, we ran out of books. We ran out of books for me to read. And we did a lot of short stories. And then it evolved. It was like, well, where does the podcast go from here? And the natural next evolution was talking to our writers and our photographers. And yep. And then we've even interviewed people like Tommy Caldwell. You know, I got to go sit in a van with Tommy Caldwell, and you know, people that are listening, you know, I create the climbing zine, I make some climbing films, create this podcast, but you know, it'd be much more fun if we were sitting next to each other having a beer or whatever. But when I get to sit down, especially with someone like Tommy Caldwell, it's like literally my favorite part of my job, because it's like someone like this you could run into and you could have that awkward fanboy conversation, but to have an hour with someone and be able to pick their brain and ask them everything you want to ask them, it's literally my favorite part of my job that I have. I want to kind of transition into the fact that you're not a climber. And you understand this culture in a way, because I think we're all united in the activities we do. I think the activities we do have more in common in difference. The outdoor risky activities, the skiing, mountain biking, kayaking.
Yeah, man, we're dopamine junkies. You know?
Yeah, we are all seeking something, and we're all risking something in a lot of ways. Some sports are more dangerous because the impact they have, and then some sports, like backcountry skiing or many forms of climbing, that your life is literally on the line every single time. But I think it's been to our benefit that you're not a climber, because you just kind of provide a little bit of an outdoor or an outside perspective. But I want to get your take on, like, what have you, since you've really dived into climbing culture with me in a way you probably hadn't before, but what is your take on climbers? Like, what have you learned about climbers through this podcast, and what do you think is kind of interesting?
Sure. Well, when I was in college in Iowa, I did try to get into climbing. There's rocks in Iowa. You can go to Maquoketa and climb Superfly. It's there. I promise. There's bouldering.
I believe you. I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, there's bouldering in Northeast Iowa. There's stuff around. But I tried to get into it, and I never really did. I would go to the climbing gym. Not a lot of my friends wanted to go. It was tough to break into the group of, like, really good climbers that were already there. You know, they don't want to take me. You know, like, oh, great, we're going to have to climb the boring things for this guy. So, I got out of climbing, but I was also really, really into mountain biking at the time. And yes, there's mountain biking in Iowa. You can go to Sugar Bottom. You can go to behind the Science Center in Des Moines. I think there's a lot more now than when I was there.
This podcast sponsored by the state of Iowa.
Yeah. Man, there's this great YouTube video. It's called Iowa Nice. And we describe how nice we are. And it starts like this. You think you know something about Iowa? Well, fuck you. And then the guy just goes on to tear into people because Iowa had some cool historical things. Anyway, so...
Is Iowa the place with the RAGBRAI?
Yeah, Iowa's RAGBRAI, dude. Registers annual great bike ride across Iowa.
Yeah, Illinois doesn't have anything. Maybe Iowa's just a little cooler than Illinois.
A little. Yeah. Okay.
Our Illinois listeners can let us know, and our Iowa listeners.
But yeah, so I don't climb, and, like, there's, like, a lot of reasons. One, I never really broke into it, and I just kind of let it go. Two, like, I'm not very good at, like, standing still and, like, chilling. Part of climbing is chilling and waiting and being patient for either your turn or, you know, for the person to come off of the wall or the rock or whatever. And, you know, like, I'm a mountain biker. I like to go hiking. I like resort skiing. I like backcountry skiing. And all the things that I like are, like, you're constantly on the move unless you're stopping for a little break. With climbing, it's like there's so much downtime. And with all that downtime, I've just got to think, like, I mean, when you're not, like, hand rolling cigarettes of, like, cheap tobacco or smearing, like, discount peanut butter on Wonder Bread, like, it's just a lot of time to think and a lot of time to be, maybe introspective, you know? For me, that would probably kill me because, not because I don't like to think or be introspective, but just knowing that I'm not actively moving. So, like, you know, so climbers, like, I feel, and I might be wrong because I'm not one of you, I feel climbers have more time to spend kind of in their head and with themselves. And whether it's psyching themselves up for a route, am I saying that right, Luke? Is it a route?
I'm
joking. I know some climbing words. I know what a cam is. I know what a, what's the thing you wear on your waist? A belt or something?
Your harness?
So, yeah, harness. I know what those are. So, you know, I just think climbers have more time to spend with themselves. And
yeah, I think you're absolutely right, especially certain types of climbing and certain types of climbers, like you say, the hand roll cigarettes. Like some people, you just wonder if they're just climbing just to get away from their lives and just want to be stoned, you know? And for me, that's one of the greatest things of climbing, because I'm the opposite, you know, it's the, I like to mountain bike and stuff, but when mountain biking gets fast, it starts to scare me, you know? So it's like, I'm drawn to that. That's a key thing of, especially like what we call trad climbing, you know, just like being on a wall for a long time. That's a big part of it.
Sure. And Luke, like, it's not to say that like when you're going mountain biking or backcountry skiing, like in Crested Butte, some of the bike rides are like, you know, 2 hours up, 3 hours uphill. You got a lot of time to spend in your head, you know, but mm-hmm. you're still actively thinking, how am I going to get over this rock? Do I need to shift? My butt hurts. I should stand
moving,
up for a second.
You know?
Yeah, you're still moving. So it's not that we don't get into our heads, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And a different type of dopamine or a different type of release, you know, it's like the, like you said, we're all kind of seeking this, for lack of a better word, dopamine release, but it's probably a different release when it comes through climbing, because you have these really intense time periods followed by, you know, really chill time periods.
Like if you're ever hanging out with some Australians or some Brits and they talk about the NFL, you know, and they're like, why is everyone like breathing so hard and sweating so much? They play for like 8 seconds at a time. Whereas like the rugby people are just like going, 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 going. And like, you know, when you're mountain biking, you're always on the move. But when you are climbing, you know, you're throwing everything you got in a short period of time. And that might be more like the NFL, so to say. It's like when the ball's snapped, wham, you know, and then it's over. Whereas the rugby guys, not that they're not, you know, going balls to the wall, but it's a different pace and a different level of intensity.
What else about this podcast have you, I guess it's been a good thing for your life. How has it enhanced your life? And what do you kind of find interesting about this whole Dirtbag State of Mind podcast world?
All right. The first thing that I've noticed is, despite the name of the podcast and it's associated with a climbing zine, it really isn't about climbing. You know, that's the nexus to which things gel around, but it's about mental health. It's about access. It's about, you know, is this welcoming? Can it be more welcoming? And that doesn't just apply to climbing. That's life stuff right there. You know, that's as society's kind of mentality evolves to where it eventually should be, or I shouldn't say should, but eventually where it needs to be. You know, climbing is just the center story for all of it. But what I think about, Luke, is I'm learning a little bit about climbing. The climbers are probably like drooling over this stuff, but I'm drooling more over kind of the social parts of it. And that's how it's enhanced my life, is it gives me a chance to look at the world through the lens of climbing and apply that to myself. At the same time, you're throwing me a ton of work, and that keeps me fresh and relevant in the editing world, because I do love audio editing. Some people hate audio, just like, I hate audio. They want to do video, but I love audio. And if you let this stuff sit for too long, you will lose your chops. And working with you, Luke, has allowed me to keep my chops where I need them to be. I don't know. I feel like you and I, like, as much as we would still be acquaintances, I think we're pretty damn good friends now. And that kind of gels around this podcast, which all starts with climbing. And I think that, to me, is the biggest takeaway.
You know, that's really well said. And that really kind of resonates with me right now. You know, I've been in El Potrero Chico, Mexico for 5 months now. And I'm not like completely burned out on the climbing here, but so much has happened. You know, I've had a friend who had an accident. I had another acquaintance who died, who there was a fatality. And so it's like, I feel like near the end of a season, because, you know, Potrero is, we've already been in the 90s, you know, it's like, it's near the end of this season, but it's like, I love climbing, but if I don't climb a single another day here, it's not going to matter. But it's like, I have the friendships of the people that are here for 2 more weeks. And then I have, like you said, the situation where now all of a sudden you're at a table and you're talking to people from 3 different countries and you got a bond, and the conversations get more interesting the less we're talking about climbing. Climbing brought me here, but the thing that keeps me here and the thing that's going to mean the most is the relationships. It's the situations where I've got to talk to someone who's different than me. I've got to speak another language. I got to constantly get out of my comfort zone. And then when you're sitting around and talking to these people, it's like, yeah, we can talk about climbing, but if we talk, I want to hear about your life back in Switzerland. I want to hear about your life in Guatemala. You know, it's like climbing is this impetus, but climbing, like any of these other things that we do, they'll get a little boring if you just talk about the sport. You know, it's like, I love mountain biking, but the worst nightmare for me is to be with a bunch of mountain bikers who just want to talk about mountain biking, you know?
Oh, mountain bikers are the biggest group of assholes in the world. And I am one. But like,
hey, I am one too.
Luke, I can totally relate, you know? I'll have friends over and, you know, they're talking about, oh man, I just like the new purple snowmobile oil so much better than the pink snowmobile oil. And then the other person, oh yeah, man, the purple's good, dude. And like my new acceleration, and I jetted the carbs. And I'm like, how are you doing following your father's death? You know,
yeah.
those are the questions I'd rather sit around and talk to you about. Like, we don't need to analyze the fucking oil. You know, let's talk about ourselves and each other and how we're doing and how we can support one another. Sure, give each other advice about the purple versus the pink oil. But like, back off. There's a lot more to life than that. And Luke, there's a story that I probably should write this for your zine. I never really thought about it before, but there's this situation and it revolves around climbing where I ended up introducing two people, but I did not introduce them to one another face to face. I never gave them a digital introduction, meaning like, here's a text. Hey, here's Nick. Here's Dan. I never sent them an email, but I introduced them to one another from a time I was camping in Penitente Canyon, which is both a mountain biking and a climbing destination in...
Yes, it is. More mountain bikers camp there now than climbers, I think.
Ugh. What county is that? It's in Sawatch County.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's not blow that place
up. Is that
up.
A county?
It's not that good.
Yeah, it's Sawatch. Not that good. Yeah, Sawatch. I don't know. It'd be hard to blow up Sawatch.
Oh, just wait.
Yeah.
They
just
will.
Just wait.
So it's my birthday, and I roll down with a huge posse of people, mountain bikers, and we roll up to the largest group campsite, and there is one van camped there. And I walk up to this van and I'm like, hey, a lot of people are coming to this campsite tonight. You're free to stay here, but we are not going to respect or recognize quiet hours. And this is probably going to be a completely ridiculous rager. So if you're hoping for a little couples campfire with s'mores and a romantic getaway, we are about to destroy that for you. I recommend you either go somewhere else to another campsite, or you join. And they ended up actually going to another site. But we were talking before they did so. And I'm talking to, I can't remember the gal's name, but the guy's name is Dan. And Dan is getting ready for a climbing trip in Thailand. At that time, I live in Crested Butte with a guy named Nick. And Nick is the current reigning king of Seoul, which sounds ridiculous, but every year we have a dance party in Crested Butte, and there is someone selected as the king of Seoul. And they're the person who basically throws down the hardest at this dance party. So Nick is the king of Seoul. Nick is going to Thailand as well, if he's not already there. I don't remember this part. But I tell Dan, hey, if you run into the king of Seoul, before you ask him, just tell him, oh, you're the king of Seoul. And Dan's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, you'll know, man. You'll know if you see the king of Seoul. And he's just looking at me like I'm insane, which I'm partially. I don't know where this was, but
probably Tansai.
I'm sure. Something like that.
If we're talking Thailand, we're probably talking Tansai. Yep.
Okay, so Dan and his gal go to this, you know, climbing place, and they see someone on the wall who has a hat backwards that says Crested Butte True Value. And Dan yells up at this person, hey, you're the King of Soul. And Nick turns around. He's like, what? That's where they met, was climbing in Thailand. They're still in touch. And it just blows my mind that it actually happened. Nick came home. He was my roommate. And he says to me, he's like, Chad, someone yelled at me while I was climbing. They're like, you're the King of Soul. And I'm like, holy shit, it worked. It worked. And
that's climbing for you.
Boom. And that's, you know, as an outsider, like, that's not just climbing, that's life. But the story is, you know, kind of gelled around climbing.
Have I told you that we are starting a missed connections column in the climbing scene?
Missed connections?
It can't be romantic, but it can also not be romantic. It's like, I saw you at the wall and you were wearing like a glitter shirt and you had a nice helmet on and you were really cute and you were at this wall, but I never said anything to you.
Yeah, these were like started in like the culture magazines, like in cities, you know, it'd be like they'd have their ads on the back pages, but it would say something like, hey, we talked about the new Pavement record at the record store. I was wearing a gray blazer and you were wearing, you know, a pink Built to Spill shirt, and I bought the record and left. I'd love to connect with you.
All right. I love it when an idea comes out of a conversation. So we are going to bring that to the podcast. If you do have a missed connections, you can send us a DM on Instagram or send an email to luke@climbingzine.com. I've already got a couple and they're really, really amazing. Kind of the last thing I want to end on is something, a philosophy that we've used with one another, is that, you know, there could be something like, are you going to have this to me today? And we're independent. You know, you listen to the credits on our podcast. It's like me, you, and Devin Dabney, who does our music. And you listen to other podcasts and there's like 20 people on every single podcast. But I think for me, it's good that we're small because we don't have that like corporate overlord and we're not like worried about one of us getting fired or something. You always tell me, I'm like, well, Chad, I could get this done, but I've been working all day and I want to get outside for some mountain biking or running or climbing or whatever it is. And 100% of the time you're like, go, it'll wait till tomorrow. And I feel like I'm always that, like that with you. So hey, if you're listening to this and you're wondering what the fuck you should do, it's 3:30 or 4 o'clock and you got the opportunity, get out there, get that ride in, get that workout in, whatever it is. And I think that's a guiding philosophy of ours that I just really want to share that with the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care of yourself first. You know, like, you definitely can't feed the gander if the goose is about ready to freak the fuck out.
That's a quotable. Right on, Chad. Well, yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. And on that note, I am going to get some rock climbing in. But yeah, everybody, listen to your friendly podcast hosts. Get out there. Get on that ride. Get on the rock. Send us a missed connection. We love you.
Don't get fired, but, you know, push it up to that line. You know, I think it was Hunter S. Thompson who says, the only people who know where the edge truly is have gone over. So try not to go over, but find that line and take care of yourself. And if that means climbing or going to the gym or just going for a walk with your dog, you won't regret it later. Luke, you know, one last thing. You close out every podcast saying peace, and guess what I say now? Every time I'm leaving, peace. Like departing with someone, I'm like, peace. I'm like, God damn it. This
I man. Love that.
Luke, hey, Luke, peace.
All right, that was my conversation with our digital editor and producer, Chad Rich. Hope you all enjoyed that. It was really fun to do. I was in my car here in Potrero Chico, looking up at the walls. As we talked about in the interview, it's always interesting to find a good space. And Chad had recommended recording in my car. And so I did that. So hopefully that audio turned out okay, Chad. And at the end here, we're going to leave you with a sample from the upcoming Microdose mixtape. All the poetry in the mixtape is by me, written and recorded by me. And all of our music is by Devin Dabney, who also creates our music for this podcast. Chad Rich, of course, is our digital editor and producer. Music by Devin Dabney. And signing off from El Potrero Chico, I'm Luke Mihal.
Peace. Thank you.
Welcome to the Microdose Mixtape, Volume 1 from the Climbing Zine. You know, this is one of those things I just wanted to do, and Devin agreed to take on this project with me. Very grateful for him for that. You know, I used to make tapes back in the day. I'm part of the tape generation. Made tapes for girls, mixtapes in high school and even in college. And now, 20 years later, I hear the young folks are collecting tapes once again. This is just a project I really wanted to do, and this is for you. And words are by me, Luke Mihal, formerly known as MC80D. Beats by Devin Davins. Been at this climbing artistry for 2 decades plus. Ever respected like a trad 10 plus. Or 2 turntables and a mic. I've been living this life so long I forget this climbing life is an eccentric life. Or at least it can be. Google dirtbag and you'll see me. And I'm fucking sick of this derivative Instagram pimping. That's why I keep it original, like a piton. Higher than a multi-pitch. Pushing my pen like I'm bumping a number 5 Camelot in an O-dub. And because we're talking hip-hop, let me shout out Chris Hampton, aka O-dub. The only thing the zine was ever derivative of was a cap of psilocybin, an Allen Ginsberg poem, and a Tribe Called Quest tape. I come from the hip-hop generation. That means I mean business. And because I'm original, I had to start my own business. And you do you. Do whatever you gotta do to get ready. Because the Microdose Mixtape is taking off.